We have a cartoon that we'll start with tonight. Guy sitting there in his chair saying, "Rover, your gift test indicates you do best at fetching and sitting at my feet, but our family needs someone to sit on the branches and sing. Do you think you could handle that?" I don't know about you, but a lot of times churches do that. We need somebody, we think, to sing and sit on branches. And so we take people who are good at fetching and we make them people who sing. I was at the Baptist Church Planters board meeting and we're looking for some people to serve in various areas. And one of the men who works in business says, "Well, in business, this is how you handle it. You decide what you need done and you find the person to fit that." And that sounds very, very good. And that's the way you have to do business. You find out what needs to be done and you find the person who can do it and you hire that person to do that job. But you know, in the Church of Jesus Christ, it is the opposite. You take the people you have and you use them. And you don't try to make a dog sit on a branch and sing. A dog is good at fetching and running. You make them fetch and run. In the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that spiritual gifts are a very important thing. I have some tests here if you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Here's one. Here's another. A whole booklet in my office that we could get for you and a couple other sheets. The trouble with all of these things, you know what it is? As I take them, I end up with different gifts. Depends on which test I take. So somehow it tells me that those tests are not all that accurate. When it comes to spiritual gifts, we have to understand that the Word of God does help us with it and does explain things to it. And we understood that a little bit from last week, that spiritual people, that's what chapter 12, verse 1 started with, the spiritual people are not the people who have these spectacular gifts of tongues and whatever. They're the people who allow Jesus to be Lord of their life. But he does have to deal with spiritual gifts. And so he comes to verse 14 and helps us to see tonight that we want to be a people who don't waste them. I got three questions for you. Do you consider yourself a significant part of this ministry? Do you consider everybody next to you a significant part of this ministry? But most importantly, do you use your gift? Or do you waste your gift? As you look at these verses, verse 14 down to verse 31, those are the three truths that the Apostle Paul tries to communicate. In each case, verse 14 to 19, and then verse 20 to 26, and then 27 to 31, in each of those sections, which is divided up so clearly in the Greek and helps you understand it, boom, he moved to a new section. He starts out with a truth. He just says a truth in verse 14, and then again in verse 20, and then again in verse 27. If you don't believe that truth, he illustrates it to make sure that you get it. It really is true. This is a truth that you can go to the bank on. And then he says, okay, now if that truth, which you now understand to be true, is in your life, how will that impact your life? And tonight we'd like to just pick up those three truths about spiritual gifts. He says in verse 14, in fact, the body is not one member, but it's many. And of course, that is based upon the baptism of the Spirit, which is found in verse 13 and the statement of truth of verse 12. But he says the body is not one member. It never has been. It is always made up of a whole lot of different members. That is to say, there is diversity here. There has to be all kinds of different members. And he says, do you not believe that? He says, I'd like you to take out your hand. How many would ever look at your hand and say, that's my body? You say, you're crazy. It's a part of my body, but it isn't the body. How about your foot? Look at your foot and say, now that's my body. Your foot is not your body. Your foot is a part of your body. That's exactly what he says in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I do not, I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He says this, every aspect of your body is a part of the body, and every body is made up of many, many different members. What he is trying to get across to the church at Corinth is this, there are several reasons why we waste our gift. In verse 14 through verse 19 is the first reason. Some of us look at ourselves and say, I'm just a hand, or I'm just a foot. I don't have the gift of tongues. I don't have the gift of healings. I don't have these spectacular things. I'm not good at singing. I'm not good at being up front. I'm just not much of anything. And because I'm not good at all those spectacular things, since I'm just a nobody, therefore, I am not needed here. And I'm not essential here. And I'm not even really a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons we waste our gifts is because sometimes we feel inferior. Sometimes we feel like I'm a nobody. What do I have to contribute to the program of God? What do I have to give to God? It's nothing compared to everybody else. And apparently in the church at Corinth, that was true. Some with the lesser gifts. We're looking at those with the greater gifts, the more spectacular gifts, and saying, I'm a nobody. I guess I am not a part of the body. And he says, that is not true. Every body has a lot of members. Some of them are very spectacular. Some of them are very upfront. And some of them are very hidden and very small, but very essential. What does that mean for your life and for my life? As you read down in verse 16, then verse 17, he says this, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. You might not think you're much. You might not feel important. You might think there's not really much that I contribute here. You know what? I could leave this place and everything would go on just as before. But that is not true. You are not a nobody. You are not inferior. You are not unneeded. You are a significant part of the body of Jesus Christ. And you cannot say, because I'm not a hand, therefore I'm not important. You cannot say that. I have a little quiz here for you. You can try to give me the answers to these if you can think of them. Who taught Martin Luther his theology? Who visited D.L. Moody at a shoe store and shared Christ? Who worked alongside Harry Ironside as his associate pastor for years and years? Who is the wife of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Who was the elderly woman who prayed so faithfully for Billy Graham for over 20 years? Who financed William Carey's ministry in India? Who refreshed the Apostle Paul in the Roman dungeon as he wrote his last letter to Timothy? Who helped Charles Wesley get underway as a composer of hymns? Who found the Dead Sea Scrolls? Who personally taught G. Campbell Morgan how to preach? Who were the parents of Daniel? And you know what? Probably you don't know the answers to any of them. Perhaps you know the answers to a few of them. But you understand there's a lot of nobodies in this world. They have never made the history books. They have never seemed to be significant. They just walked into a shoe store one day and shared Christ with a man who was selling them shoes. And that man went on to be D.L. Moody. You just recognize that every one of us is essential and every one of us is a part of what we are. I need you to say it tonight. I am needed. Could you say that with me?
I am needed.
Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Or do you walk around and say, they don't really need me there? Because if you believe they really don't need me, you'll waste your gift. If you say they don't need me to welcome that family this morning, somebody else will do it. They're better at it. I'm not real good. It might not get done. You need to say to yourself, God made me. And as it says here in verse 18, God has set the members, each one. God put every one of you to be a part of this ministry because He knows that's exactly what we need for the ministry here at Walnut Ridge Baptist Church. Early on in my ministry, it was confusing to a young pastor because nobody felt needed. And I couldn't understand it. I remember a man who was the chairman of my deacon board, and his wife played the organ and the piano, and they taught a Sunday school class. And they came into my office one day and they were going to leave. You know why? They weren't needed. And I said, Why do you come to that conclusion? Oh, we're not part of the inner circle. We're not part of the people who really do things here. I said, I don't understand that. You play the organ and piano, you teach Sunday school class, and you're chairman of the deacon board. Who is important here if you're not important here? But they did leave. They did not feel needed. You will waste your gift if you think, I'm not important. I'm just a nobody. This church would go on without me. God says to the less gifted, what appear to be less gifted, He says to the church at Corinth, everyone is needed. You are not inferior. Everyone is essential. So on one hand, we say, I'm inferior. That's our first reason we might waste our gift. Well, there's the other side of the coin. There are those who are greatly gifted. They have the spectacular gifts. So he has to deal with that. And he starts that in verse 20 down to verse 26. And he says, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. If you compare that to verse 14, it's kind of the flip side of verse 14. In verse 14, he says, the body has many members. In other words, there's diversity in the body. We need toes. We need hands. We need eyes. We need every part is needed. That's what makes up the body. There's diversity. Now he kind of flips it around, says the same thing, and he says it from the opposite perspective. And he says, you know what? In spite of that, there is unity. And that's why he says in verse 20, indeed, there are many members, yet we must always remember it's always one body. And so you're a hand, or he's a foot, or he's an eye, or whatever it is, and yet don't ever think that somehow you're independent from the rest of them. Sometimes we feel inferior, and sometimes we feel independent. I'm the hand. I'm going to take off by myself. Watch me. Try it. See if your hand can just go out on his own. He says, if you don't believe it, let's look at the illustration, verse 21 and 22. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Apparently, in the church of Corinth, there were some with pretty spectacular gifts. He keeps talking about the greater gifts. And they came to the conclusion, or could easily come to the conclusion, I don't need you. I can handle life all by myself. I'm so gifted, I'm so talented, I'm so good. But you know, if you left, it wouldn't hurt me at all. One of the great tragedies of life is sometimes we say that about church members. If they left, it might even be good. If they left, we'd get along well without them. In fact, life might be easier without them. That was a blessing. They finally left. My friends, I hope we never say that. We are many members, but we are one body. And you cannot say, I don't really need you. We as a church cannot say, we really don't need you. Now notice how that fleshes out as you move on in verse 22. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. The truth is that even the weaker, by the word weaker means to have a headache. How many need a headache? Nobody? You sure? Why does God give you headaches then? Sometimes the only way you slow down is when you get a headache. And God knows you need to shut down. And sometimes you need a headache because it's the only way you will shut down and go to bed and take some time off. But he says, you know, even the headaches, even the feeble, even the ones that you don't particularly like or need in your mind, these weaker, these headache people, they're absolutely essential. They're necessary. You might think, I don't need you, but the truth is you need everyone, even the headaches. There was a period of time when they thought, you know, we'll just take the tonsils out. You don't need your tonsils. Remember that? Kids had something wrong. They ripped out their tonsils. Kids don't need tonsils. Don't need your appendix. You can live without your appendix. They even thought you don't need your earlobe. And then they thought you didn't need your little toe. And so for a period of time, doctors were ripping those things off easily because you don't need them. And you know what they found out? You will freeze your ears if you don't have an earlobe. Without your appendix, you're a little bit less. Without your tonsils, you're missing something. Now, you can live without tonsils, but that doesn't mean you're better without tonsils. You take off your little toe, you won't have good balance, and on the list goes. Every part is absolutely necessary, and the weaker are needed. Now, notice the next one in verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow the greater honor. There are certain parts of your physical body that are less honorable, and guess what we do to them? We spend more time on them to somehow make them more honorable. And he says that's true in the body of Christ. There are some who are not as honorable, but yet we will bestow on them even the greater honor. And then he says as well in verse 23, then our unpresentable parts, we give to them the greatest modesty. And we do the most of clothing on those parts that aren't presentable. He says the weaker, the headaches are needed. The ones that don't have honor, those are the ones who get the more honor. The more time is spent on them. And the ones that are not presentable, that's the one we spend the most clothing money on. In fact, he says in verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need. And you recognize he is saying in that section this great and simple truth. Sometimes we waste our gifts because we feel inferior. The I'm not needed syndrome. life will go on without me. No one will even miss me. Sometimes we waste our gifts because we're independent. We have the Lone Ranger syndrome. I can go it alone. I have no need of you. If you left, my life would move on without you. And he says it is not true. In fact, he says in verse 24, here's why. God has composed. Remember in verse 18, God has set the members. Now in verse 24, God has composed the body. That is to say, every member has been orchestrated. And God says, you know, Walnut Ridge Baptist Church needs that person, that kind of person. And he has orchestrated it all. He has put it all together, and he has all the trombones and the cornets and all the pieces in the right place. He's like a maestro, and he says, I need all of these people. God has composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, in order that there would be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. God perfectly composed, like a orchestra leader composes all the different parts and gets all the different players in there. He has carefully put us together. Because when we are all together, it eliminates division. Doesn't create division. It eliminates divisions. He did it so there'd be no schisms, there'd be no dissensions, there'd be no divisions. As well in verse 25, but that the members should have the same care for one another, because you know what happens? We can care for one another and we can give the same care for one another. Do you understand that sometimes you're good at caring for somebody in a certain way, but other people in different situations you wouldn't be good at? But somebody else is good at that. In that situation, for that person, they're good at it. And because he has put us all together, we don't need to be divided and arguing and fighting, because we get the same care for one another. All of us end up with the same care. He says in verse 26, if one member suffers, guess what? You never have to suffer alone. That's why he put us together, so we get the same care. He put us together so we'd never, anybody here ever have to suffer alone? It's a lonely feeling, isn't it? It's a terrible feeling. You just want somebody to show up and just say hi to you sometimes when you're suffering. He says he put it all together like a perfect orchestra leader puts together his orchestra so that we'd never have to suffer alone. And besides that, he says in verse 26, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You ever do something great and honorable and you're so happy and you have no one to share it with? And you have to sit there and rejoice alone? You know, you never have to suffer alone, but you never have to rejoice alone within the body of Jesus Christ. Because God has carefully composed us and perfectly put us together with all of our members so that we get the same care. So we never have to suffer alone. And we never have to rejoice alone. We can rejoice together. You understand that one of the reasons we waste our gift is when we think, I'm independent. I don't need you. You're not needed here. I can handle life without you. And that is why, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, I'm so glad there's a good crowd here tonight, because it makes it easy for me to read this. Let us, verse 24, chapter 10, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know you're needed here tonight? Sometimes we approach services and say, you know, it doesn't really matter if I come or not. I'm not needed. I'm not singing. I'm not playing. I'm not preaching. I'm not praying. I'm not whatever. What difference would it make if I show up or don't show up? And sometimes we think that way, don't we? And he said, but that's not true. We need each other. And we can stir each other up to love and to good works. But we need each other, don't we? We desperately need each other. Do you think you're needed? I hope you say yes. Do you think you need everybody else? I hope you say yes. One last thing, verse 27 to the end. Again, he makes an introductory statement, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Verse 14, if you're inferior or feel inferior, recognize that that's not true. You are needed. In verse 20, if you think you're independent, I can go it alone. He says, watch out. You need everybody else. Now he says this, verse 27, you are the body of Christ and members individually. He kind of puts them all together. And here's what he says. And God has appointed these in the church. Remember, three times now you said it. Verse 18, God has set the members, each one. Verse 24, God has composed the body. You can just see this orchestra leader just picking out his players. Now again in verse 28, God has appointed these in the church. And they are different. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. We've spent a lot of time trying to describe those gifts. I think you understand what they are. In the body of Christ, especially in the early church, there was a need for all of these different gifts. And those 12 apostles, which lost one and then regained one, and ultimately were those who were sent specifically by Jesus Christ, having seen Jesus Christ, to establish the authenticity of the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were essential for the church. Imagine the church if we had never had the apostles of Jesus Christ. God set that all in order. God set it all up. And then there were prophets, those who had the ability to take the word of God and foretell it. And then there were teachers, those who had the ability to explain. Remember, in those days, if you wanted a gospel, a copy of the gospel, it cost you 1 year's salary just to have a gospel. If you wanted the New Testament, you had to work 8 years' salary to earn up enough money to have the gospel. So they depended so radically upon teachers who would read to them the Word of God. That's why in the New Testament, so often there's such an emphasis on the reading of the Word of God publicly, because in those days, people didn't have copies of the Scripture at home. But more importantly, there were the teachers who would be able to exposit and explain and show people what the Word of God really meant to them. Besides that, he said, there were some who had the gift of miracles, the ability to do things that only could be explained by divine and supernatural powers. There were those who had the gifts of healing, of helps, and administrations. Administration could be translated government. It's a word for the one who pilots a ship into harbor and somehow guides that ship into the harbor so it ends up at the right place. The one who gives direction and guidance and whatever. And some had that ability. And then he lists here as well the variety of tongues. And his point is simply this. You know, we're all part of the body and we're all members of the body. We got to put those all together, diversity and unity. And guess what? We're all going to be different. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad we're not all the same? If there are two of us in this room who are identical to each other, one of us would not be needed. God has put us all together. And some are apostles and some are prophets in that church age. And in our day, we have all kinds of different gifts as well. He asked this question, if you don't get it, in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's he trying to get across? He's saying, nobody has them all. Nobody can possibly say, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm a miracle worker, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a whatever. Is there anybody that you know that has it all together? That has everything that is needed from the program of God so that God says to you, you can go out and start your own church. It has one member, it's you. Absolutely not. But on the other side of that, the flip side of it, as he picks up in that last verse, verse 31, you earnestly desire the best gift. That, by the way, can be taken as an imperative, a command. Earnestly desire the best gift. He's telling them to do that. Or it could be taken as an indicative, as a statement of fact. You, the church of Corinth, you are earnestly desiring, you want the best gift. You're a bunch of people who want to have the spectacular gifts. You're the bunch of people who want to be doing those things that, you know, everybody goes, wow, when you do them. Either way you take it, he says this, I want to show you a better way, a more excellent way. But what he's trying to get across in verse 27 down to verse 31 is sometimes we waste our gifts, not only because we feel inferior, they don't need me, or we feel independent, I don't need you. Sometimes we waste our gifts because we feel indifferent. I don't really care whether prophecy goes on or teaching goes on or miracles go on or whatever goes on. We become so indifferent that we just become lazy and indifferent and waste our gift. That's why Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, that great passage on spiritual gifts, use them. You have been given a gift by God. Now use it. Don't be indifferent. Don't think, what does it matter? Imagine if the apostles would have taken that approach. I'll just be lazy. I just won't do the things of apostles. Imagine if Paul didn't go out and preach the gospel where God told him to preach the gospel, or Barnabas or any of the rest. Imagine if the teachers didn't teach and the prophets didn't prophesy and the guys who had the helps and governments and so didn't do their job. Imagine what the early church would have been like if people just said, it doesn't matter. I'm just indifferent. I got a lot of other things to do tomorrow. I'll just waste my gift. When you put that all together, you recognize that he's trying to say to you and to me, don't waste your gift. Don't feel inferior. I'm a nobody. I'm not needed. Don't feel independent. I'm a somebody. I can live without you guys. Don't feel indifferent. It doesn't really matter if we're apostles or prophets or teachers or all the rest. We can live without them. God has set the members. God has composed the orchestra. And God has set in order the family. And God did that. And you are needed. And the person next to you is needed. But most importantly, your gift is needed. And when you waste it, or when I waste it, it hurts us all. When you don't do what God has enabled you and empowered you to do, we all come up short. So what is your gift? How can you serve God? Did you use it today? Will you use it tomorrow? Will you use it on Tuesday? Will you use it every day of your life? I have a little poem that I've read so many times. You're going to make me throw this card away. It's kind of yellow because I've used it so much. It's a story of everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. I think that happened this morning here. There was a family, unsaved family, that needed us to say hi to them. And I think everybody was sure that somebody was going to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could do. I like that poem. You know, you're everybody, and you're anybody, and you're nobody, and you're somebody. And God needs every one of us to be used in His kingdom and for His glory. Don't waste your gifts. You're too talented. You're way too talented. May God help us to use Him. Let's pray. Father, today I pray that we would all see we are needed. We're a part of Your program. You put us all together, and every one of us is essential for what You're trying to accomplish here at Walnut Ridge Baptist Church or any other church. We pray, Father, that You would help us to approach ministry as a great opportunity to serve You. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who feels inferior, they would realize they are not inferior. They are needed. If anyone here feels superior, they can go it alone. I pray that You'd break that down in their life to see that they need everyone here. Or if any of us today feel indifferent, we just don't care, then I pray that we would desire the greater gifts. We'd become people who want to be used, look for opportunities. And we'll thank You for that in Christ's name. Amen.